will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Age of deception, is it? Do we live in the age of deception or what? I just, I got up a little bit early this morning and doing a little bit of show prep. And, you know, I is anything around us real? I mean, really, is that, I think I need to watch the movie, The Matrix. People tell me that. I've never seen it. Is anything around us real? Can you tell me something that you know is real, is true, is honest? If we don't understand come to the realization that the battle that we're fighting is a spiritual one, time out a minute. You, my friends, are not a body. You're not a body. You live in a body. You are a spirit that possesses a soul, and you live in a body. It's all of us are. Three, right? Body, spirit, soul. Now, when you get born again, the natural man, the Bible says the natural man meaning two different things. Number one, the natural man be your earth suit, your body, that's natural man. But you're a natural man in that also you're born, the spirit quickens you. Remember, God formed man out of the dust of the earth, breathed in him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So the breath of God's in every one of us, brings us life. It is what it is. We call it a spirit. But the difficult part, or the unexplainable part, or the thing that we really get tripped up on, is the idea that you are a soul. And as Mark Trump has showed us a couple times here in Genesis, well, okay, let's go there. Let's go there. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. And then again, help me out here, Mark. This is on me this morning. God creates man in Genesis chapter 1. Oh, Hank, bear with me. I haven't done any research on that. Let's see where it is. When God let there be lights and the firmament, everything's created. And then God said, let us make man in our own image. There it is, 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Got that up there, Jared? I'm sorry. I'm a little stream of consciousness here. Let me run down this path a minute, okay? I don't know about you. I like it when I do this, because it's fresh from the Holy Spirit. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created in them. God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. All right? So there's God, man's created. And then God does a second creation, because it makes us nervous when we say it. It says that God formed man. I'm trying to find it now. Chapter 2. Hey, Jared, who's your twin there? When I say, hey, Jared, give me that. Who am I talking to, Jared? Hey, Jared. Connor, sir. All right, Connor, sir. Connor, sir, go to chapter 2 of Genesis. Because this is important for us to see, I think. And it goes to a lot of things that we've been missed. A lot of things we've been mistaught, I think. Verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 7. There it is. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now we have to ask ourselves this. Is this a recreation? Or is this an explanation of what was done the previous chapter? I don't know. I'm trying to ask ourselves. But we see right here for the first time that man has something that nobody else has, and that is a living soul. A soul. Man has a soul. What is, does a dog have a soul? Does a cat have a soul? Does a deer running through my yard this morning, does that deer have a soul? Or is that something only a man is? So the soul's made up of three parts. It's made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your mind, your ability to think. Your will, your ability to choose, and your emotions, which, and essentially your soul's who you are, right? Remember the scripture say that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sinneth. So evidently there has to be some choice about this, because I guess the soul that doesn't sin doesn't die, but we know that all sin fall short of the glory of God. So if we look at this, think about ourselves as this mixture between a spiritual, for where does your soul come from? When God breathed into us the breath of life and we became a living soul, where did that come from? That soul thing, where did that come from? It's kind of an important question, isn't it? Is there a place, is there something beyond what we can see here in the natural that we can test, touch and feel and taste? And if we became a living soul, where do we come from? And where do we go? And don't forget, because at the conclusion of this whole thing we call life, our soul, well, that'd be Revelation 11, I think it is, was cast in the lake of fire. Not the person, the soul, the person. Well, they're inseparable. Say, Coach, don't be so confused. I'm not trying to be confused. I'm trying to help some of you understand that you're not a body. You're not a body. You live. You walk around in a body, just like you have a car that carries you around. Like I ran a bunch of errands yesterday. I bet I went 50 miles yesterday, but I didn't go. The car took me there. So the car carried me to my destination. And I can say that I went to Kroger's, but I didn't. Went to Kroger's and I was in the car. Well, also inside the car was my body, and inside my body was my soul.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
So then I put it on top of that soul, and it gives something called nepis. It's, I guess in the concordance, it's H5315. The very first one, it says soul, self, life, creature, person, appetite, mind, living being, desire, emotion, and passion. So it goes one through one eye. So the thing is that deer qualifies for some of it, but not all of it applies to the deer.
Well, the deer certainly does not have the ability to make moral judgments, does it? There's no morality in the animal world. It's dog eat dog, right? Only the strong survive, the law of the jungle, right? So we always have within us that how do I say this? That innate urge to kill and dominate. That's inside the heart of man also. But because we have a living soul, because we have a soul and the ability to have a conscience, we learn to control that. And how do we learn to control that? Well, we're taught to control it. Our parents teach us certain things that are right and certain things that are wrong. Our schools teach us certain things that are right and certain things that are wrong. Our churches teach us certain things. The military teaches you. Your football coach teaches you. On your job, you're constantly being programmed between what is right and what is wrong. That's the soulish part of a man. But somewhere in the midst of all this stuff, there's a great, great deception. I'm just flying by the seat of my pants here a minute, okay? Let's go to Romans, Romans 8? No, Romans 12. Go to Romans 12 real quickly. I don't know how I got on this, but I'm going to stay on this horse, man. I'll be done here in a second. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, understand this. Your body is what carries you. So you commit your body to do the Lord's work. Then it says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? by the renewing of your mind, the way that you think, the way that you think. Your soul, your mind, has the ability to think and to reason, to be programmed, to be conditioned. For instance, there are certain things we know right now that we've been conditioned that you are not allowed to talk about politically. And it's happening more and more and more. You're not allowed to speak against the Jews. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to speak against blacks. You speak against blacks, you're a racist, right? You're not allowed to mention the name of Jesus. At least that's not very, we learned very early, you're not supposed to do that. So there are certain things that we are programmed to do and not to do. A sense of a set of morality, so to speak. Like it's like some guy, I wrote a post, my commentary last week at Before It's News, and thank God for Michael Roach for letting us be on Before It's News. And you know, that's not always necessarily a saved crowd out there. And so some guy responded to me and said, "You just believe in Jesus because you were born in America," or something. And I suppose there's a truth to that. I suppose it's a system of morality. But Jesus claimed that he was not only just the way, the truth, but the life. He said that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. He is the only one who claimed to die and still be alive and exclusivity. He was the man. He's the only one who claimed that. So all we have to do is look at Western civilization and look at Western civilization and compare it to what's going on in wherever, Africa. Look what's going on in, you can't say Europe because that's Western civilization. Asia, a white man, white Christian man took the gospel to Asia, took the gospel to the world, right? What was the gospel? Well, part of it was a restraint system of restraint. I'm about ready to wrap this up, this stream of consciousness that I'm talking about right now. Because we are all products of our environment, and dare I say, programmed by our environment. We're programmed by it. Because we are programmed by it, and because technology is so powerful and so strong in America today, we are living in the age of deception. The age of deception. For instance, if I were to say this right now, I don't believe the official story of 911. I'm sorry, I don't believe the official story. You know, about 75% of Americans now agree with me. If I were to say that I don't believe Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone killing John F. Kennedy, do you know the numbers are up in the 80s, people who don't believe that? And then we just see this suicide of Jeffrey Epstein. I've never seen anything like it. Most people don't believe it. Even the lefties don't believe it. Have you noticed how quiet the left is in regards to the death of Jeffrey Epstein? Because they're smart enough to look at that and say, oh, something right there. Something is. See, we live in an age of deception. What really is true? What really is real? That's the battle we're fighting. Not only that, not whether the Bible says it, God said it, the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. But are we really sure what the Bible says? Are we really sure? We live in a great age of deception, and we know what the devil likes to do. He likes to counter the truth. Did God really say? He likes to question the truth, plant false ideas, and we are living in a great age of deception because of Hollywood and the media and the deep state, all that. Great age of deception. So I just wanted to, that was on my heart this morning. I've purposely not spoken a whole lot about the Epstein thing because I'm trying to get my head around exactly who's deceiving who. There's a lot of deception going on, a lot of deception. And at the end of the day, I don't know if we ever get to the bottom. What happened to Judge Scalia? Does anybody really know? Here was a Supreme Court justice was murdered out in some place near Victor, and we don't hear anything else about it. Nothing else, just kind of swept under the rug. We live in a great, great age of deception. Somebody come on in. I think I've
Coach, yeah. The thing is, it's that the facade is the facade, the lie, the deception, the gaslighting. This is what's becoming the truth. Not the truth, but the facade itself. And, okay. and, and
For those who've never been to El Paso, explain gaslighting.
Well, if I told you, coach, you just fell. And you told me, no, I didn't fall. I'm sitting down. Coach, you just fell. I just saw you. And it's my lie that is trying to trump your truth. Mm. And that's gaslighting, as simply as I can state it.
Okay.
And this has been happening for a long time.
Have you really noticed the left is saying very little about the death of Jeffrey Epstein? Very little. They don't know what to say. Because the worst thing that they even want to say is that somebody on their deep state offed him, right? Because that causes cognitive dissonance when you don't want to believe what you believe, when you don't want it challenged. So I feel Mark Trump, I haven't talked to him about this because this is a stream of consciousness coming out of me. What do you think about it, Mark? And the ability to come in and deceive the mind is a terrible thing to waste. Isn't that what they said? And how easily we become programmed and how easily we all fall in line and believe the same things and say the same things. And racism, it's all programming. Ain't nothing real. Is Mark even in here this morning? Data, Mark. All that data stuff they throw at us. You don't have to be Mark. Anybody can come in here. So much of what we believe is not true. So much of what they've told us in the Word even isn't true. Not that the Word's not true. That's not what I'm saying. Things they're telling us that the Word says that it doesn't say.
Well, Coach, did you see the comment that the Lieutenant Governor said here in Texas? You know, they asked him if he was surprised at this, you know about the shooting in El Paso. And he says, no, I'm not surprised in that. Everybody has been trying to evict Jesus Christ out of their lives. They think that an hour and a half on Sunday will make up enough for the rest of the week.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, that's what I wrote on. I'm going to get to that, I think, in a minute. Somebody else, come on in. Come on. I called out Trump. I didn't mean to call. You know, anybody can come on in here.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Hey,
hey, Paul, listen, you know, good to hear from you. I was going to call you. My wife said the other day, what's happened to Paul Webb? Good to hear you, man. You don't have to explain.
My schedule and you don't have phone and all that mess.
You don't have to explain anything.
I just want to, I'm going to send you a video. I saw something on Sunday. It was by a guy from, I don't know if you ever heard of a program called Israeli News Live. And he did a very good expose, about 45 minutes, about Jeffrey Epstein. And it's a lot deeper than what people think. And
Paul, start again there.
It's,
man. Paul, start again.
I saw a video by a gentleman who, his first name is Steve, but he has a program that's called Israeli News Live. And he has several very good videos. And one of the videos they did Friday or Saturday after the death of Epstein, he talked about a lot of the deep history of Kabbalism and all that and where, and just, it's fascinating. It just, and it kind of explains a little bit about, well, actually explains a whole lot about what happened and why this happened and the attitudes and the, and how infiltration, you know, talks about, Bible talks about evil men have crept in unaware. Well, mm-hmm. that it does a lot of answers on there. It's pretty fascinating. And so Paul, kind of gave me a little bit better perspective.
I was thinking this morning about, I was reading something about the Southern Baptist, what do they call that, convention, SBC, Southern Baptist. The Baptists are going really, really wobbly. They're really, really wobbly, yeah. The Baptists are.
You mean the people that gave Hillary the award about 5 weeks ago, Coach?
Yeah, that group.
Okay.
So why are they going? Why are they going wobbly? Well, it can only happen from one way. It can only happen through infiltration. It has to be the only way. And have you ever asked yourself how do seminary professors or university professors, how do they get hired?
By claiming to be Indian.
Good line. they get hired by the buddy system, right? Somebody knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. And so through infiltration, if you could walk into any university in America today and say you were a God, Jesus-fearing, Bible-believing Christian with a PhD in whatever your field is and want to be hired and think you're going to get hired?
Probably not even at a Christian university.
Probably not even at a Christian university. How has this happened? It's happening through infiltration, see? Infiltration. And that's one of the things that we in the church still have not figured out. We still haven't. We're not training our kids. Think about a Christian school. I worked at a Christian school for a few years. And the last thing on the minds of Christians in that Christian school was infiltration. That was the last thing. Remember, the Bible tells us that children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. They shall, that's Psalm 127, I think, Jared. I forgot your name already. What's his name, Jared? Your new
Connor.
I'm sorry, Connor. That's Psalm 127, I think, Connor. I won't forget you again, Connor. 127. Let's see there. There it is. Psalm 127. Got it up there, Connor? I'm sorry, I'm a little bit behind it. Hey guys, I'm all over the place with me. Bear with me. I think as we just sit here, this is all going to come together, all right? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Now, city, right? That could be country, it could be whatever. The watchman. Israel's watchmen are blind, Isaiah 56:10 tells us. The church, the watchmen of the church are blind. They're blind. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sheep. Lo! Hey, dudes! Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Children, don't miss this. Your children are God's children, and they belong to him. It is his reward. Your children. Your children. Now stay with me. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Why? Why would a man be happy that his quiver is full of children? I see these big families, it seems to me it's a burden. And they have a hard time feeding them. They got to dress them all. Man, so we can't afford all those many kids. But yet the Bible says that the man should be happy that his quiver is full of them. Why? Here's why. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And how many people, how many churches, how many sermons do you hear on that very subject of boys and girls, moms and dads? We need to strategically train our children to infiltrate. To go into the gates of the city and infiltrate. Do we teach them that? No, we're taught today to go out and get them and bring them into the church. We're not told to. It's true. We don't train them to strategically go invade. That's why the universities are under the control of God haters. They've infiltrated and taken over. Seminaries have.
You know, one of the churches in the book of Revelation, Jesus praised them because they checked out the folks who came to him.
Mm. How about that? Right, folks? So this infiltration is so much bigger than what we understand, and we are so far behind the eight ball on trying to recover lost land, if there's a better word to say it. Now, let me ask you something. We're out working hard to do the Equal Justice Tour. By the way, still on my fast. I lost track of what day it is. I think it's day 9, I think. Still fasting. Praise the Lord. I love it. I love the feeling I get when I'm fasting. So the Equal Justice Tour, I hope some of you are still fasting with me. If not, you can still start. Equal justice to it. Folks, we have no country if we don't have equal justice. We don't have justice. We don't. Jeffrey Epstein was the most notorious criminal possibly in American history. Possibly. And he was able to suicide himself in jail. How could Hillary Clinton still be walking around free? How could we, just a lot of deception, a lot of deception. So in our fight for right, fight for justice, in this fight for justice, we have, the other side, they're not going to give us justice. They're not, why? Because they don't know he who is just. They don't know him. Everything they do is about convenience and what advances their agenda. And I believe that Jeffrey Epstein, this is me now, I believe Jeffrey Epstein was a controlled agent put in there to absolutely destroy honest people, to compromise honest people. And that Jeffrey Epstein was in that jail, and if he was working for the deep state, Jeffrey Epstein didn't die. This might take, you can believe the story if you want to. To believe that he could be in that jail, the most notorious criminal currently in American history, not walking free, and be able to hang himself. There's no way. So I'm doubling back around on the age of deception, and everything we see around us, most everything we see around us is not real. Go ahead, Vinny.
Yeah, it's been reported by an actual inmate from the MCC that it was absolutely impossible for him to kill himself. It's just patently.
Well, Vinny, not only that, I've heard law enforcement officers say that it's impossible. You can't. They listen, folks. This ain't Shawshank Redemption, okay?
Exactly.
They don't have jails with bars up on top of them. You can hang yourself from. I couldn't hang.
Hey. You know, you early on in the program, and you keep mentioning it, talk about reality and what's real and what isn't real. You know, there's two kinds of reality. You've got actual reality, things that are real, and then you have perceived reality. And that's what the mainstream media deep state is so good at fabricating, is using lies and false news and false facts to create a perceived reality, because they know that the sad thing is that people, everyone, acts on what they perceive reality to be.
That's right, Larry, and they call that cognitive dissonance, right? When you present evidence to the contrary, that's why I'm saying, that's why the left is so quiet, because evidence has come surely showing there's a deep state with the death of Jeffrey Epstein, and the left doesn't know what to say because the mind's not programmed that way.
Hey, Coach, can I make one excellent point here? Yep.
Sure, Vinny. Hang on a second, though.
Yep, of course.
If they said that Donald Trump killed Epstein, then they would get it. Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. But maybe one of their own did it. Then go ahead, Vinny.
Okay, so think about this. They have taken everyone of importance and consequence off Twitter. But guess what trended anyway? Epstein's suicide cover-up, right? So who's trending that? Everyone on Twitter who's not a conservative. It's everyone else. It's them. It's people, regular people, saying, I don't believe the story because it's impossible.
But Vinny, see, here's the miracle that's at work in my point. I made this to my point to my wife last night. This does away with the term conspiracy theory.
Exactly. You got it, brother.
Away with that term, folks.
That's right. They did it to themselves.
Term should never, ever be able to be used again, because we all joked, did we not? Did we not all joke before he went into jail, somebody's going to knife him in jail? Did we all not joke about that? Didn't everybody say that? Somebody, they're going to get him.
It wasn't a joke, Coach. It wasn't a joke.
Didn't people say, hey, the Clintons are going to get him? And then what do we do? Then he dies, and what do we see all over Twitter and all over Facebook? Oh, Clinton body count, all of a sudden, right? So they're making that connection. See, the idea, people are not as fooled as we think they are. But see, in our society, in our culture, you're not allowed to talk about these things. That's part of the conditioning that's going on, the deception that's going on. You're not allowed to mention it. Somebody come
on. Hey, Coach. Coach, yes, just sir. So everyone's aware, with him being out of the way, those documents that were released the day before that have all the names in it, the 2,000 pages, his attorneys, so this is, and someone had told me this, and it blew my mind. His attorneys now, when they go to court, cannot say that has nothing to do with the case. So all the names that are in those 2,000 pages, they can't, Epstein is dead, so he cannot contest the evidence. So his attorneys can't say, no, we can't talk about that because it doesn't have anything to do with it. So now all those names are going to be coming out now. So think about that.
I'm telling you, see, this in the age of deception, for real deception to work, excuse me, you have to be convinced the other way. For real deception to work, right? Two-card money has to be. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. But something's happening here for sure. And it has to do with our ability to think, with deception and cognitive dissonance, in my honest opinion. And I think the death of Jeffrey Epstein was a pop in the head. Look, come on now. We're grown-ups, right? We're grown-ups. All these mass shootings. I'm going to call time out here. Can anybody name them for me? Can anybody name the guys that did it? I'll wait.
Who did the Parkland?
Now, give me a name. Don't say the Parkland. Who was it?
Cruz. I don't have his first name, but his last name was Cruz.
Okay, give me another one. Give me another one that you know. Wasn't there one down in Dallas somewhere? Didn't they have one down? I mean, how? What? Paddock. I remember him. I remember him in Las Vegas. Notice how silent that thing went, right?
The kid up in your area was Betts.
Yeah, okay. Come on, let's go back 5 years. Dylan Klebold, what's my point?
Patrick Crucius is the guy in El Paso.
Oh, that's too, I don't, that's too recent.
But nobody knows it.
Yes, nobody knows it. So they program you, they tell you it's all the news, and then they go away. Who killed all those people in the theater? What was that guy? What happened to him?
The Batman-looking guy, Dylan Roof.
Dylan Roof.
Is that his name?
Yep.
What happened? What happened to? You hear what I'm saying? We're living in an age of deception, and I think it's critical that we understand that it's important, more important now that the Holy Spirit. We ask the Holy Spirit to show us the truth, and we live in fascinating times. Somebody else, I'm going to switch gears here real quickly.
Coach, before you leave, Epstein was spreading seed in the state of New Mexico. He wanted to go ahead and have everybody to have his DNA.
Time out a minute, Vic. At least they tell us that. Go ahead.
Well, but then there's an article showing that they're taking an extract from cotton and they're putting it in the vaccines to purposely depopulate the earth. So as hard as you try to conceive with your wife or whoever, you can't do it because of the vaccines are doing their job. Right now, a lot of people are not conceiving because this is the game plan.
Connor, Psalm 2. Now remember, listen, Psalm 2, Connor. Come on now. Come on, wake up out there, big boys and big girls. You went to your fluffy church yesterday and they didn't talk about anything that's really going on other than they just want us to pray for everything. Just everybody just pray. Let's pray for this. But then they don't even pray. Russ Dizdar says the average church prays about 15 seconds. So they talk about prayer. They don't even do that. Why do the heathen rage and people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves up and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointing. Who are those people? Are they real? And are they just Are they just demonic spirits in an earth suit? I don't know about you, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Is it possible to be filled with another spirit? Is that possible? And the kings of the earth set themselves up. All those who hate me love death. So if you happen to be a person that would be in a position of power and you love death, aren't you going to have policies that support that? This is the kind of stuff we're dealing with. And see, it's so far beyond the believability of the average Christian that we're just absolutely brain dead with the ability to think. I hate to double back on you. Talk about Tower 7 that fell at World Trade Center. There's no physical reason why that building fell down. Yet we still won't get to the bottom of what happened, really, of 9-1-1. Because the kings of this earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointing. And don't ever miss this. Who is the Lord? Well, the Lord is the truth. So their rulers are taking counsel together against the truth. It's always an attack on the truth. And if they can get you to believe a lie, they've got you. And that's where we are. That's what's going on.
You know what, Coach? It won't be long, not very long, before it's illegal to even question their narrative.
That's where we're heading. that's where they're heading.
Coach, real quickly, I'll send you the tablets. Look from tomorrow or the day after. They're at the PO. In addition to that, it's the Lord of the air or of this world, Beelzebub. So then you have Beelzebub, and then you have Beelzebub, bull. So then one is the Lord of the flies, and Beelzebub is the Lord of the dung. So yes, it's possible to have another spirit other than the Holy Spirit, but that would be your choice, the person that controls your soul. You.
So, Vic, would it be possible that Hillary Clinton had a spirit in her that's not the Holy Spirit?
Amen. That's correct.
Would it be possible Barack Obama had a spirit in him that was not the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Is it possible Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell have spirits in them that are not the Holy Spirit? Is that possible?
Amen. Yes, it's true.
Oh, didn't Jesus say that this kind, remember? This kind comes out how? Only by prayer and fasting, this kind. In other words, there was no doubt from Jesus that there were these things were in people. They were in people. And Jesus said, this kind comes out only through prayer. Folks, we had better waken up to the demonic realm and understand its influence. Listen, if we can believe that God can intervene in this time-space continuum that we're in, God can. Why can't? Well, see, we have people all the time talk about their angel. An angel showed up. My guardian angel. We have this belief of an angels, but we have no belief in demons, right? In the demon-powered, demon-controlled world.
Hi, Coach.
We've got to come back to that realization in the church to awaken people what's going on. Bless you, Randy. What's up?
Hey, Coach. This is good. I'd like to make a statement, a pretty bold statement, maybe get contested a little bit. But I believe that any spirit that is against the will of God, or even if it comes out of a Christian, a believer, comes out of the soul and not the inner spirit man. I'll tell you this because Peter, you know, Jesus rebuked Peter. He rebuked John and James. He said, what kind of spirit are you guys of? So anything that thwarts the will of God or comes in opposition to that, Coach, it is an antichrist spirit. It is not the Holy Spirit. It's an opposite spirit that wants to come against that. And that's why Peter or Jesus rebuked Peter. He rebuked his disciples because of that. So it's pretty evident.
So Randy, I don't know about you, folks. I don't know about your life. I'm going to tell you me. I have a picture of me hanging on the wall over here of when I was my first year as a head football coach. That was 1987. And I go over there every once in a while, and I look at that picture of me in 1987. And you know something? I don't even know that guy. And I look in the eyes. It's a pretty big picture. It's, I don't know, 18 inches high. When I was vainglorious, I suppose. And I said, "Yeah, I don't even remember that guy." Because why? Because see, I had a different spirit then. I had a different father then. And then when I got born again, the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit came in me. And when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit came and filled me and indwelt inside me, I became a brand new guy. And I'm going to tell you, I spent a lot of my time before I was saved serving spirits that I had no idea I was even serving them. I would go out with my buddies and I would drink till I couldn't even stand up. Couldn't even stand up and just say, give me another one, give me another one. I cussed like a sailor. I was totally and completely concerned about me, myself, and I. That was my God. And all of a sudden something happened to me and I received this brand new spirit in me. And I became a brand new creature, which is, by the way, what the Bible says will happen, that you'll be transformed. Transformed. I have no desire to be with another woman now. No desire. No desire at all to be with another woman. I have no desire to go out and get drunk. I have no desire to go out. I got just no desire. How can that happen? That same guy that's hanging on the wall over here to where I am now, how can that happen? And how can we not understand that people, me, without this Holy Spirit, what kind of wretched man I was, and what kind of thing I was capable of doing? And why can't we understand that when we look at the world, when those of us who carry the name of Christ and who are Christians or believers, why is it that we can't look at the world and say, they don't get it. They're not saved. They're acting like unsaved people. And not understand that the battle that we're fighting against is not against flesh and blood. It's against these unsaved ideas and forces and demonic realm that's called. Anybody with me out there? Is anybody else out there different today than you were before you got saved?
Absolutely.
Why are we expecting unsaved people to do what's right? I didn't do what was right when I was unsaved. I had a moral conscience. I had a moral base, but I had no more control over me. And that's where we are.
Dave.
Yes.
I think that would calm a lot of us down more if we understood what you just said. You know, when you go to a city council meeting and you share your position that is biblically based and comes forth from a foundation of Christianity, if they don't know Christ, they're clueless to what you're bringing forth. And that should calm our spirit in dealing with some of these people.
Yes. Well, they don't get it, right? That's what I like to tell the unsaved. Don't worry about it. I used to think like you. I know where you're coming from. And I'll tell you this. I could be you right now. I could go out back into the flesh and start drinking beer and chasing. I could go back into the flesh. You can't. Okay. His thing, dude. I could be you. You can't be me. And we're entrusted to people. How could any Christian man possibly survive in that Washington atmosphere?
Hey, Coach, it goes back to the beginning of your show when you're talking out of the book of Genesis, and it talks about there's the, and the soul of the man, which it is the mind, wills, and the emotions. Animals have a mind, they have wills, and they do have emotions, but it's of a carnal nature. And Amen. So when God created man of the dust of the earth, just like he did animals, that is the carnal nature of man. Therefore, the battle of the soul is between the carnal man and our spirit man, for it is our spirit that bears witness with God. But when our spirit is not in connection with God, we then take on the carnal nature. This is when a dog will hump your leg. Because that's the carnal nature of a dog. Yeah. It is, will hump anything. And so when we allow our soulish realm to be more and more controlled by our carnal nature, brother, we got Bruce Jenner's, we've got all of these people, drag queen hours. Brother, the carnal nature will only get worse and worse and worse because our renewing of our mind comes through the washing of the word and the bearing of the spirit of God.
Amen, brother. Dale, that is so well said.
Yeah, you see that thank you, Dale. You see that actually in James chapter 4, if you go there, It Let's talks about
Let's
where
go there.
Wars and fights come from.
Let's go there, Connor. James 4?
James 4, 1 through 4. Actually,
not only
1 through
that,
5.
Hey, not only that, in the book of James, it says, where does sin, right? The soul that sinneth shall surely die. Where does it begin? It begins in the mind. We think it, and then we act upon it.
Amen.
James 4, from whence come wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Think it, just stop, just ponder on that a second. And look where we are in America. Where do wars come from? He said, your lust of your heart, man. You want what somebody else has. That's where they come from. You lust and you don't have it. So you kill and you desire to have and you cannot obtain. You fight and you war, yet you still don't have it because you ask not. You ask and receive it not because you ask amiss. See, God's not going to let you win the lottery because you're just going to consume it upon your lusts. See, Coach, I'm going to play the lottery and I win it. I'm going to give every bit of it to ministry. Okay, well, that's a different heart, isn't it? You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? There it is. And whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Wow. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth is in us lusteth to envy? The spirit that dwelleth in us, what would that be? Well, it's the one that you're born with, the natural man. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There it is. There it is. Resist the devil. The devil's coming, resist him, and he'll flee from you.
Hey, Coach.
About the Holy Spirit. Yes, sir.
So then yesterday I was contemplating that the spirit is synonymous with the spectrum of light. Because when you go to the spirit, you're availed the ability to see all these frequencies of light. In the flesh, you're very, very limited. You can only see so much. So then the spectrum that the spirit avails you is one where it's a blessing. If you heed to it, if you choose it, it's a blessing. And then it's a curse when you choose the flesh, because then all you can see is just these cardinal frequencies. This is where you yearn to covet and to possess and to kill anybody that is in your way trying to keep you from obtaining. This is where you get theft. This is where you get war.
Can somebody explain this to me? I was thinking of this morning as well. I'm on day 9, I think. I have not eaten food in 9 days. Now, if you walked anywhere, I don't care where you are, and you told people that you had gone 9 days without food, they would think there's something wrong with you, right? But why is that? Because your spirit man has power over your carnal nature. It's not that I don't want to eat. I do, but I don't ponder it. I don't think about it. My family eats. They eat around me. What am I saying? I'm something holy? No. It's the spirit. See, that Holy Spirit in me gives me the ability to control my carnal nature. I'm not going to die. Oh, I'll drink some juices and I'll drink a little bit, but I haven't eaten in 9 days. If you can go 9 days without food, couldn't you go 3 days without porn? Couldn't you go 4 days without a cigarette? See, the spirit man inside of us is so powerful. Oh, he's so powerful. And we go to church and we don't even really talk about that spirit man and how powerful he is, because I watched a live broadcast Sunday morning. I couldn't watch it all, of a mega church, and even the songs that were being sung were about me I want to feel your presence. I want to touch you. I. Oh, I bring my sacrifice to you. I do. No. It's so carnal. And we have to get in touch with this. We got to get in touch with our spirit man. We're living in unbelievable times with the ability to do great exploits for our King. But we don't even know that we can do it. 9 days without food. I feel great. You can't. I hear people gripe they missed lunch. Man, I haven't eaten all day. Oh, bless you. Bless you. So we have to exercise, right? We have to exercise our carnal power over our carnal nature. I'm not bragging about my fast. Just telling you a story on it, all right?
Okay. Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir, Randy.
Yeah, I want to say something here. If you notice, everyone can get on board with anything that appeals to their soul. But when things that we should put into our, that we feed our inner spirit man, word of God and love and giving and laying down our life, laying down our soul, by the way, that's the same word. Not anybody hardly wants to go there, because why? They don't want to give up their soul, their life. See, that's the whole question, Jesus, when you become a disciple. It isn't the question when you get saved. It's after you become saved, he said, now how many of you are willing to lay down your soul, your suke, your life, your will, you. So, you know, we come to Christ. I mean, yeah, we know we need to give our life to him, but he's asking for everything, you know, that's the choice. There's the choice. You choose his life and every, you know, laying your will and your soul down, or you do your own thing. And that's why the churches are full of people that want to do that, but not full of people that want to do his will. So,
hey, Coach, here's an analogy of Randy was just talking about, because our carnal nature becomes like dogs begging at a table. Brother, you can give that dog all the food you want, but if you're eating something at the table, that little carnal nature always wants more. That dog will come over there begging and yelping and wanting more. It's never satisfied.
Right. And that's us, isn't it? That is us. So I'm trying to double back and figure out how I'm going to wrap a bow on this thing today, because I think it's just critical that we've become so easily deceived, having the Holy Spirit in us, becoming so easily deceived and watching the church not be transformed, to be conformed, that everything in the world is invited in the church. I've never seen anything like it. Jesus said, come out from among thee, be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. We come into church, it's very little different about, we strive after the same things. We all do. I'm not being holier than thou, talking to me. The power that's available to us, the Spirit of God inside of us, the ability to, those who know their God shall do great, shall do exploits, I think is what it says. Oh, I got four things I wanted to show here.
Hey, Coach, you want to wrap this up? Read Hebrews 4:12, and that'll help us understand how to do what you're talking about and to not be deceived. And I think that's a key scripture.
Hebrews 4:12.
So the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing the bone and marrow, thought, and even the intention of man.
You know,
and it's a discerner and it divides between the soul and the spirit.
It is. Let me read it for everybody here. Verse 10, for he that has entered into his rest, he has also ceased from his own work, as God did from his. That comes about dying to self, doesn't it? Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Wow, this is so deep. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. Can you imagine that? It divides those two. And of the joints and the marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and the tense of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. See it, isn't it? Isn't it, Randy? Huh? That's it. That's it. So we have such a cheap grace, cheap Christianity in America today that it's lost its power. Again, I used to, coming back to a football thought, I was thinking about football a lot this weekend. Not pining, not missing it, but just thinking about it. And it's 2 days time, and always enjoyed that aspect of it. What was the job of the coach? Well, among other things, the job of a coach was to get you to do what you could not do on your own. To drive you to a point where you don't think you can go any further, and then take you there. That's the job of a coach, a good coach. A good coach is going to train you so that when you get in the game, that pressure and the pain is familiar and you know you can conquer it. Our churches have become hospitals for saints. They're self-help centers. They're not a place where they come in and charge men in particular to go and conquer the world, which is the call of Christ upon us, to go ye into all the world. And he said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. Well, that should be comforting to know that if we go, he's with us. By the way, if it isn't difficult, why would he have to be with us? There weren't challenges. And the average Christian, so much of my early Christian life was spent praying for me. Protect me. Give me this. Give me that. I. When it's about our ability to represent Christ in a fallen world. Goes back to children being a heritage of the Lord. Your children are the Lord's heritage. They're his reward. Why? Just so he has somebody to sit around a campfire with in heaven? No, I think it's so he has somebody to work through here on earth. A couple minutes left. Somebody help me wrap it up.
Coach, your job, what you said as a coach, is the same as, and I don't know if you recognize, as the calling of the ministries, the apostles, pastors, preachers, yep, teachers, evangelists, and prophets. It is to equip the saints for them to do the work of the ministry. You equip the players on the football team to, yep, do the job.
Yep, that's it. They don't just show up and come to the game. They come to the game, they go play, man. They go play.
Hey, let me interject a teeny bit of levity here real quick. I just came across a great meme on my Facebook earlier. Four great religious truths. One, Muslims don't recognize Jews as God's chosen people. Two, Jews don't recognize Jesus as the Messiah. Three, Protestants don't recognize the Pope as the leader of the Christian world.
Wow.
And four, Baptists don't recognize each other at Hooters.
No, Larry, you're listening, brother. Those words of wisdom are profound and unbelievable, brother. And that's coming from a Baptist.
Hey, Larry, they were getting you were getting really deep there on those first three, and then you caught me out of the left hook, I guess it was.
That coach, going back to wrap it up, back into the word there, Hebrews chapter 4:11, that was really good, Randy. It says, you know, let us then labor into his rest. We are called to do work. We're not supposed to get saved and sit on the sideline. We get equipped and we do the labor that we may enter his rest.
Amen, baby. Amen. What a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. Hey, listen, I got to run. I got to go meet Larry at Hooters. We'll see you tomorrow.